Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the finance minister insists the country will have the finances to deal with the second wave of COVID-19. The HSE has confirmed that Letterkenny University Hospital has a current capacity of 391 beds. The cause of a major blaze at Foyle Port in Derry yesterday remains under investigation. A Donegal County Councillor is calling for extra training to be given to Garda trainees to deal with individuals suffering from severe mental health issues. And Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin has been appointed Sinn Féin spokesperson for Fisheries and the Marine. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly, followed by Farming News with Chris Ashmore. But first in news, TDs are set for a showdown in the Dáil this evening in a row over Dáil speaking time. The government is trying to change rules to give Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin and the Greens more speaking time. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The row is over who gets to speak in Dáil debates and when. Up to now, the government gets the first slot, followed by every other party in order of how many TDs they have. But the government is trying to change that to put more slots for its TDs and Sinn Féin at the top of the schedule. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says it's only fair as they got more votes in the election.
We had a situation in the previous Dáil where government backbenchers couldn't
one
get
voice,
speaking time.
One voice,
And independents and people from micro parties got more speaking time than government backbenchers. And that wasn't fair. Everybody elected to this House is equal.
But it would mean that the Social Democrats, Solidarity, People Before Profit and Independents are pushed further down the list of speakers and won't get to put across a view until hours into the debate, likely also impacting the media coverage they'd get. At a meeting of the Dáil's Business Committee, a number of compromises were put forward and rejected by the government. They're pushing ahead with the motion, with opposition parties saying they will force a vote and start a blazing row on what's meant to be the Dáil's final sitting day before the summer recess. People Before Profit's Richard Boyd Barrett has warned there will be murder on the Dáil floor.
The finance minister insists the country will have the finances to deal with a second wave of COVID-19. Last week, the government outlined the July stimulus package, which involves €7 billion worth of supports. It's expected the coronavirus crisis will leave the country in a deficit of €30 billion by the end of the year. But Minister Pascal Donoghue says the country will be able to cope if things worsen in the coming months.
In relation to, do we have the ability to do more? You know, that is the question that Budget 2021 will have to answer. We will have the ability to put in place further measures. And if we do have to deal with a strengthening of this terrible disease later on in the year, we've built up now a fair level of expertise in our country now in relation to the things that we need to do.
In the north, there have been no new COVID-related deaths for the 17th day in a row. The death toll in Northern Ireland remains at 556. 8 new cases have been confirmed, bringing the total number to 5,938. 2 patients are being treated in intensive care in the north. The HSE has confirmed that Letterkenny University Hospital has a current capacity of 391 beds. Additional staffing is also being sought for the hospital for the winter months. But figures released today in relation to the number of beds available, Pian Saffney has more.
In a statement, CEO of the Sale to University Hospital Healthcare Group, Tony Canavan, confirmed to members of the Regional Health Forum West this week that they have created an additional 38 beds on 2 separate refurbished sites within the campus of Letterkenny University Hospital. Both Medical 6 and 7 at the hospital are now providing the extra bed capacity, bringing the total number of beds in the hospital to 391. These additional beds are to provide the capacity to deal with potential increases in the number of suspected or confirmed COVID-19 cases. The hospital has also sought approval for the additional staffing required to fully open these extra beds through the winter planning process. However, according to the HSE's daily operations update today, out of that 391 bed capacity, just 24 are available today at Letterkenny University Hospital, and no critical care beds are available.
Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin has been appointed Sinn Féin spokesperson for Fisheries and the Marine. The Donegal TD already has existing responsibilities as chief whip for the party. Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald believes Deputy McLaughlin will be a strong voice for fishing and coastal communities. He says establishing the circumstances surrounding a recent incident involving a Navy ship ordering a Donegal fishing vessel to leave Irish waters will be a priority of his.
I'm delighted to have been given this responsibility by Mary Lou MacDonald. There's huge issues for our fishing communities across Donegal and across the country, in that we've never got our fair share of, you know, fishing rights in our own waters under the common fishery policy. We just have this big threat now with Brexit making that even worse. And of course, there's a lack of investment in our piers and harbours in Donegal and across the state. So I'm really looking forward to getting my teeth into the role and fighting for our communities with their representative groups.
And there was a recent incident involving a fishing vessel in Donegal fishing off the coast of Tory, which was ordered by a British Navy vessel to leave the area. And this is no doubt something you will be following up on.
Oh, absolutely. It's a priority for me. You know, we had one of our fishing vessels based in Greencastle, you know, being ordered out of what is Irish waters by a British naval vessel. They were in Irish waters. They were in the wrong, clearly. And the Department of Foreign Affairs are carrying out an investigation. It's really important that we stand up to the British government. There have been concerns over the years, for example, around submarine activity and fears that they may even have cost lives over the years. So there's a lot of anxiety in our fishing community about the activities of the British Navy, and we really need to stand up to them this time.
Investigations are continuing into the cause of a major blaze at Foyleport in Derry yesterday. Shortly before 11 a.m, firefighters were alerted to the fire, which is believed to have broken out inside a large green store. Up to 15 appliances and 60 firefighters worked to bring the fire under control after 7:30 yesterday evening. The Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service have confirmed that there were no casualties. A Donegal County Councillor is calling for extra training to be given to Garda trainees in Templemore to deal with individuals suffering from severe mental health issues. There are concerns that while Garda are first on the scene to the majority of emergencies, the training they have in relation to mental health disorders is said to be inadequate and merely a box-ticking exercise. Councillor Kieran Brogan says he has been in contact with a number of people at the Coldface who say it's a huge issue locally.
I suppose from the feedback that I'm getting from people at the Coldface, in both the HSE and the Gardaí, that surely it's there, but it's probably merely only a tick-in-the-box exercise. And I suppose what we need to see is trying to get the proper support at Templemore Training College. And it is my understanding, from talking to people who worked in the health service over the years in Donegal, that back in the day, and it could be talking 40, 50 years ago, that Gardaí actually spent maybe 2 weeks working in the local unit to help them to deal with people with mental health issues. And I suppose that would have benefited them a lot, because they would have got more of an understanding of some of the challenges that people have with mental health. And I think this is something that needs to be rolled out again. So following on from the meeting on Tuesday, I've asked that we have a meeting locally with the senior management of the Gardaí, with the senior management of the mental health, and indeed the local regional health forum members, and to sit down and to discuss how we can maybe address this going forward, and even maybe this area in the northwest could be a pilot area for something like that, because it's probably something, and you know, it's a bigger issue than even I realised when it was brought to my attention first. This is something that was brought to my attention by people who work at the Coldface in the Gardaí and in mental health. It's a huge issue at the moment, and the one thing we need to do is make sure that people like the Gardaí have the proper training, so that I suppose if they have the expertise in the area and training mental health, then they can maybe a situation could end more peacefully.
There are calls for the HSE to conduct a survey among its staff in Donegal in relation to supports available to them. A wide range of supports have been available to healthcare staff during the pandemic, while a number of new initiatives have also been introduced. There is concern COVID-19 has significantly added to the workload of healthcare staff working in an already pressurised environment. Councillor Gerry Crawford says while there are supports on offer, it's important that staff have the opportunity to share their views on them.
I would ask from the HSE is that with all these initiatives that are in place, that the staff concerned be surveyed and asked the people who availed of those services what they thought and any improvements that they suggested could be made, because it's very important that we listen to those who have been affected by this and those who used it.
Gardaí and the Road Safety Authority are appealing to motorists not to drive with drink or drugs in their system this August bank holiday weekend. New data shows 1,216 arrests for drunk driving in the first 6 months of the year, compared to just 591 in the same period in 2019. Extra checkpoints will be in place throughout the weekend. RSA chairperson Liz O'Donnell warns anyone who tries to do it will be caught.
Attitudes towards drink driving have changed, thankfully, over the years, but there's still a cohort of motorists who feel it's okay to actually use drugs and get behind the wheel of a car. That's not acceptable. It's criminal behaviour. And the message that I would say today to those drivers is that don't fool yourself. You will be detected and you will be arrested and you will be prosecuted.
Tenders are now being sought for architect-led design team services to deliver the Killybegs 2040 project through the stages of detailed design and construction supervision to final certification and handover. The €4.8 million regeneration project is funded by the Department of Rural and Community Development under the Rural Regeneration and Development Fund, which is a flagship element of Project Ireland 2040. Donald Kavanagh has more.
The project is a collaboration involving the local community, Donegal County Council and the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. They say Killybegs 2040 is a transformative town centre regeneration project with placemaking at its core. Its intention is to transform the urban fabric of the town through environmental improvements that will contribute to a more attractive place for residents, visitors and businesses, and be a catalyst in creating jobs, increasing revenue and activating the private sector. The proposed development will support the growing tourism sector through the development of Island House as a new tourism facility in conjunction with a digital hub. The Island House redevelopment is complemented by the proposed transformation of the existing public car park at the Diamond to a civic space that will encourage visitors and residents to the town centre. Tender documents are available on etenders.gov.ie. The closing date for the receipt of tenders is August 31st.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 14 minutes past five, it's time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games, and I'm sure as you heard the news earlier today, Naoi Conall GAA Club have been informed that the pending COVID-19 result from one of their underage players returned negative. It's understood the test was required after a family member of the player in question tested positive. On Tuesday, the club shut down all activity across all age groups, but will now return to play under the HSE and GAA guidelines. Naoi Conall will, of course, start the defence of their Donegal Senior Football Championship title against Milford this coming Saturday at Davy Brennan Park in Galantes, and we'll be looking ahead to that game and the rest of the ties in the opening round of the Senior Championship on the Score programme tonight, where I'll be joined by Martin McHugh to look at those first round games. Also on the Score tonight, there's lots of soccer. We'll hear from Keith Cowan as the Donegal man goes for a winner's medal in the Irish Cup final on Friday night in Belfast, and we'll look ahead to the resumption of the League of Ireland Premier Division season with Derry boss Declan Devine and Fern Harps manager Ollie Horgan. For Harps, it's a tough test to get back into action. They, of course, play Shamrock Rovers this coming Saturday evening with a 5 o'clock start at the Tallaght Stadium in Dublin. And Ollie knows that it's going to be a tough enough start with four games in the space of 9 days.
You know, they're the top team in the country at the moment, away from home. The fact that, look, we've got to go there sooner or later, to put it that way to you. They're formidable at home in particular, their mind away, and you know, it could be a long even for us if we're not right. If we are right and make it difficult for them, well, we'll wait to see. But look, we've played well up there and come away with narrow defeats, and we've played poorly and got hammered up there. And you know, we need to be, it's the most difficult start you could get, but we've got to play them sometime, and why not now?
Yeah, looking at the Harp squad, Ollie, if we go back to March time and that last game that you played, what's the lineup going to be like this coming Saturday in comparison to the team that started the game before the lockdown happened?
Probably very similar as regards the squad. There's one or two changes as the height of what we have done. Unfortunately, we've picked up a few injuries, which was always inevitable, being 5 months out. And we're just conscious that we don't want to pick up any more injuries going into four games in 9 days. But that's the worry. You know, our panel isn't that big. And but at least, as I said a few minutes ago, we're back up and running and playing with whatever degree that is.
Ollie Horgan, once again, more from Ollie tonight in The Score, just after the 7 o'clock news. Aaron Connolly has signed a new 4-year deal with Brighton in the Premier League. The striker made his first team breakthrough with the Seagulls this season, scoring twice in his first start against Tottenham in October. Connolly made his Republic of Ireland debut that month and would end up making 27 appearances in a Brighton shirt. Dutch centre-back Nathan Aké is on the verge of completing a move from Bournemouth to Manchester City. Aké was part of a Cherry side that was relegated from the Premier League on the final day of the season. Bournemouth have accepted a City bid of €44 million for the 25-year-old. Aké has made 121 appearances for Bournemouth since his move from Chelsea in 2017. Fulham and Cardiff City go head-to-head tonight for the right to meet Brentford in the Championship final playoff. Scott Parker's Fulham take a 2-0 lead into the second leg at Craven Cottage. Brentford, of course, reached the final after a 3-1-1 last night against Swansea, which resulted in a 3-2 aggregate victory. In rugby, Ireland have been lined up to play 6 tests in 7 weekends this autumn. The World Rugby Council has approved a temporary window to run from October 24th to mid-December. Ireland will play the remaining Six Nations games against Italy on October 24th at the Aviva and away to France the following week. A new 8 Nations programme, including Japan and Fiji, will be played from mid-November to December, while the Women's Six Nations should also be concluded during that time, and it's hoped for the same with the Under-21 Six Nations. In golf, Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry and Graham McDowell are all in the field for the World Golf Championship St Jude Invitational in Memphis, which gets underway this evening. McIlroy has said he's uncertain if he'll return to play in Europe this year during the pandemic. It's yet to be decided if there will be an Irish Open, but it could be rescheduled for September. McIlroy, of course, has a busy schedule in the US.
It's coming thick and fast. You know, we've got this week, obviously, which is a huge event and a lot of, a lot of points on the line. Obviously, PGA next week, a major, which is the first major of the year, which sounds sort of weird. And then obviously the 3 playoff events. So, yeah, it's busy. This is the time to play well. You know, I sort of feel fortunate that I had that good stretch of golf before everything shut down. You know, I've been able to sort of hold my position in the FedEx Cup.
Finally, on to horse racing. The Galway Hurdle is the feature on day 4 of race week at Ballybritz. The market is headed by Felix Deasy and Wunderlich. The race goes to post at 6:45 this evening. That's your sport update for the moment, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. It's now over to Chris Ashmore for the farming news.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, during the week, the IFA president, Tim Cullinan, was in the county to have a look for himself at various different types of farming and to meet some local farmers and also a number of local representatives and members of the IFA. It was a whistle-stop tour, but he got an awful lot covered in just one day. And earlier this afternoon, I spoke to him to recap on his visit. Well, Tim, delighted you could join us early to visit to Donegal and got in a real cross-section of the farming community here. First of all, you were down in the Lahey area on the farm of Seamus Quinn, who has been a prominent IFA figure down through the years, and you discussed a number of issues with him and local farmers.
That's right. We started with Seamus there Monday morning, and there was a number of farmers there. And obviously, look, a lot of the issues down there was, the new cap and, you know, what struck the new payments regime, how that will evolve, and, you know, what it will mean, obviously, in payments for farmers. And, you know, we had a very good debate around that, and obviously, you know, markets and price of cattle and you know, and Brexit was a concern as well, obviously, you know, and we would be able to continue to trade with the UK, and so there was lots of issues there on Seamus's farm, yeah, and
And then you went on to Ardrath, the farm of Hugh Breslin in Ardlaher. So I suppose primarily in that part of the county, quite a few hill farmers.
That's right. Hugh's farm, absolutely, completely different farm to Seamus's, and you know, a lot of hill farmers there. A lot of concern, you know, that there's a plan at the moment with the National Parks and Wildlife and of re-wetting and parts of the mountains and designating some of this land, and so concern around the blanket bogs, and I got a very clear message there that farmers in that area wants to continue to farm as well. And so it was a great opportunity for me to see what was type of farming going on there, is because, so we have a new cap now, and we have a transition period for over a year, maybe a year and a half, and it's going to give us time to shape the scheme, so to include all people in strictly in that area of Donegal, to ensure that the schemes that we will be involved in with the department and with the EU Commission will maintain farmers farming in that part of the country as well. I think that will be very, very important.
Your third stop on your tour was onto Newton Cunningham, so a fair trek across the county, and the farm of Robin Crockett, and completely different issues here, not least the issues regarding the ANC exclusion.
That's right. We drove right across the county, right over to Robin's farm, and again, a different part of the country, different landscape, different lands, but and absolutely a different issue. A number of farmers in that area were excluded from the review of the ANCs, and I think there were some very valid points made there to me. Number one, on rainfall, the amount of rainfall you do get in Donegal, and I suppose the reason Robin's farm was excluded was, because the amount of tillage in that area, but there was a very good point made that the land use is changing in that area, and it is moving back, gravitating back more to grassland. And I suppose the other thing farmers were annoyed about there was the criteria or the reason that farmers were excluded. That information hadn't been sent back to them by the department. So look, that's something we are looking into. We want to get that information back to the farmers. But also, there is an opportunity here again that a case will be put to the ombudsman on those farms that are excluded. And we need to build a case around that and get back in and see those farms back in.
And there are other similar pockets around the country that have a similar situation.
Look, there is, and not just in Donegal. Like, I suppose in all reviews, there's winners and losers, and it just so happened that the factors, and we have to look at that and see if we can, let's say, come up with a plan to get those farmers back in today and see there again.
Your final port of call, so to speak, was in the Malin Head area. Plenty of commonage in Donegal, and I suppose this area typified the type of farming there.
Yeah, absolutely. We finished off the evening, you're right, up in Malin Head, and again, more extreme land. And up there, as well, look, there is a contrast. You have some excellent land, but also you have very mountainous land as well. I draw a lot of concerns there as well. Again, farmers want to continue farming in those regions, and they want the schemes that to be shaped, that it's the people that's doing the work will get the payments. People are getting up and putting, let it be cows or cattle or sheep up in the hills, so that there's a proper payment for those people going forward. I suppose the one thing that's common across all the areas there in the county is, farmers have a massive land bank, and it's a massive carbon sink. And with the new REP scheme that the government are talking about in the programme for government, that has to be shaped around, if farmers are sequestering carbon, that there has to be a proper payment around that as well. So looking at all of that, it's given me a good vision of the county, given me a good vision of the way that we will be shaping schemes both here at home and in Brussels as well. So look, I think it's very worthwhile for myself to be on the ground for a day in Donegal and see all the different, the diverse types of farming that's in the county there. And it's not just a one package that'll fit all. So it was a great opportunity for me.
Yeah, and I know that people here are delighted that you've come up here relatively early on in your new position as president of the IFA. And I suppose you got to meet some public representatives and Brendan McLaughlin, the chairman of the county executive here, Peter Lynch, Turlough Slaney, the liaison and development officer for the IFA. And again, it's a county where the IFA has always been very strong, and you could see that for yourself.
Look, we have great, great county chairman there, in fairness to Brendan. He organised the trip on Monday in conjunction with the officers in the county as well. A great bunch of people and great farmers and great ambition for the future, which is very important. And you're right, we met some of the councillors in the area there, and your own Charlie McConnell Logan was on one of the farms with us there as well. And it's great. Look, it's great for me to be meeting IFA people on the ground, to be meeting farmers, and it's good to be able to meet some of the people that are representing farmers in the political atmosphere as well. And it's like everybody working together to achieve what we can for the county of Donegal.
And that was the IFA President Tim Cullinan. Well, in other news, what a week it's been for the McMenamin family from Killygordon. Some of you may have seen the story in this week's Donegal Democrat about 18-year-old Darragh McMenamin and his father, Mark, who have a pedigree Suffolk flock. They sold a 7-month-old ram lamb for 50,000 guineas, that's about 55,000 euro, at the Suffolk Sheep Society Scottish Area Sale in Lanark. Meanwhile, the IFA's National Liquid Milk Committee has elected a new chairman, Keith O'Boyle. From Mayo, he produces fresh milk for Arrivo. The voting was conducted via postal ballot using provisions granted by National Council given the exceptional circumstances created by COVID-19. And the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association has hit out at demands made by the Irish Wildlife Trust for an urgent destocking of hills to help restore peatland ecosystems. In a response to these calls, the INHF stressed how the destocking of hills over 20 years ago is still a very raw issue with many farmers. And he said any proposal to revisit this will not be entertained. The restrictions were introduced through the Natura 2000 network in the mid-1990s. A report published this week has suggested that an expansion of the tillage sector could help to reduce the impact of agriculture on the environment and reduce dependency on imports. UCD Professor Michael Wallace was asked to carry out an assessment of the sector's impact on the Irish economy by Tillage Industry Ireland, which has been set up to promote the sector. Tillage has been in decline for many years. Indeed, since the early 1980s, there's been a 42% fall in the amount of land used for growing crops. Only 7.6% of land is used for tillage, and despite the reduction in tillage farmers, the amount of tillage produced has remained the same. Professor Wallace's report found that the sector supports around 11,000 jobs and is worth 1.3 billion euro annually. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
For weather now, dry in most areas this evening. Rain will develop, however, overnight, and it will be mild with lowest temperatures of 13 to 15 degrees in Monaghan to fresh south to southeast breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, TDs are set for a showdown in the Dáil this evening in a row over Dáil speaking time. The government is trying to change rules to give Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin and the Greens more speaking time. The HSE has confirmed that Letterkenny University Hospital has a current capacity of 391 beds. Additional staffing is also being sought for the hospital for the winter months. Investigations are continuing into the cause of a major blaze at Foyleport in Derry yesterday. Shortly before 11 o'clock yesterday morning, firefighters were alerted to the fire, which is believed to have broken out inside a large grain store. And Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin has been appointed Sinn Féin spokesperson for Fisheries and the Marine. The Donegal TD already has existing responsibilities as chief whip for the party. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, July the 30th. The death has taken place of Mary Brennan, Station Road, Glenties, reposing at her home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral mass at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon in St Connell's Church, Glenties, followed by burial in the local cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live from the parish webcam churchservices.tv. In accordance with HSE guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends. The death has taken place of Andrew McFadden, Grey Rocks, Milford and formerly of Cashel Creeslaw, reposing at his home. Funeral mass at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in St Peter's Church, Milford, followed by interment in Milford Cemetery. Family flowers only. In accordance with HSE guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only. The death has taken place of Tommy Toon Graham, 10 St John's Place, Strabane. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, mcnmedia.tv/camera/Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. And the death has occurred of Bridget McIntyre, née Duffy, and formerly of Drumacanoe, Churchill. Funeral leaving her daughter Siobhan's home, Beechwood Avenue, Ballybuffet, tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Temple Douglas Cemetery, Churchill. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorlar. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, if so desired, to Mary's Maids at marysmaids.ie/donate. In compliance with current government restrictions, the wake and funeral will be private to family only, please.